Erwin Armstrong, you're still with us today.
I am indeed, Stephen.
You're chair of the Northern Ireland Conservatives. So we've spoken quite a lot this morning about the jobless couples who are having more children. In terms of the under 25-year-olds who will be losing their housing benefit, how can you defend isolating people because of their age?
Well, I think you've got to compare them to other people of their age. You know, when people go to university, they don't expect to have a house. They expect to share with maybe five or six other people at a reasonable cost. And I think when they talk about housing benefit, it's not quite the same as accommodation benefit. And I would imagine that within the system, which has not been fully announced as yet, there will be provision to help people with sharing a house, you know, whether it's four or five other people. You had the example earlier where two brothers shared the house they had rented. So there shouldn't be no entitlement under 24s to automatically get a house and get it furnished.
So let me go through the what-ifs.
But you can always have what-ifs.
Well, but the what-ifs are very, very important, aren't they? Because we need to ensure that this has properly been discussed. So what if you're 23, 24 years of age, you're a decent member of society, and you've got married, and you've been working for the last 4 or 5 years, and you've got a child, and all of a sudden you're made redundant?
Well, I think, you know, that's what I had said earlier, you know. There is no welfare system that is, you know, that exactly evenly cut edges. There are always grey areas.
Do you support cutting housing benefit to under 25s who are married, who have been made redundant? In other words, that they're being told, take yourself, your wife and your baby and move back in with mum and dad?
Or conversely,
do you support that?
It could be move and share a house with somebody else.
Take your young child and share your house with a stranger?
Well, it doesn't have to be a stranger. There are other members of your family. There are all sorts of things you can do. And I think by getting into these what-ifs, you're getting into the grey areas. And I don't think anybody has said if it's a husband and wife with a family who are already in a house.
Well, that's why I'm asking you. Do you think it should apply?
Do you think families should be excluded? It depends on the circumstances very much as to whether the family should be excluded or not. If it's a husband and wife, I don't think there's any entitlement for them to expect other taxpayers to pay for their house.
So you don't think they should be excluded?
If it's just a husband and wife, no, I don't think they should be excluded. If there are children involved, then that's an area that you need to look at to see. However, if they've never had a job...
When politicians say an area needs to be looked at, it usually means they haven't a clue what they're talking about and they're just filling our time.
What I'm saying is quite clearly that if there is a husband and wife who've been in jobs, lost their job, and they have a baby, that is a circumstance where I probably wouldn't support to use your terminology, throwing them out of their house. I wouldn't support that at all.
And is it not fair enough for parents, if they get into their 60s, whatever, maybe their 70s, to say, do you know what? I don't want my 24-year-old back in the house. I've downsized. I'm entitled to downsize.
I don't think many people in their 70s have 24-year-old children, Stephen. You know, bring it down to a realistic level in their 50s, maybe.
Okay, in their 50s. Fair enough. Fair point. Yeah. But in their 50s, is it not fair enough for them to say, do you know what, I'm at a different stage of life now. You know, I don't want my adult son back in the house, sleeping in his little bedroom like he did when he was a child. Is it fair enough for parents to say no?
No, I think the argument is a very different argument because you've got to look at the parents who brought their child into the world and have a very close connection with them and have close family bonds. You can always go out to the extent of saying, well, what about those who can't agree with their parents, or what about this, what about that?
But I'm not even talking about that. I'm talking about that if this does go through, if our Northern Ireland politicians allow this to go through, there will be an implicit pressure on parents to accept their children living with them until they're 25 if they don't have a job. Is that fair enough?
It's not unreasonable. That's not unreasonable, because I know many parents who are actually helping their children to actually study up until they're 23, 24 anyway, and who do come home and stay with them. So, you know, they are out trying to get additional qualifications. They're not getting grants anymore. They're having to pay all their fees in one side of the fence, and they come home.
Okay.
And yet you're saying on the other side of the fence, the taxpayer should pay for other people who don't want to contribute to society or can't contribute to society if they can't get a job. That they should have houses paid for by taxpayers.
That
just doesn't make sense.
Erwin Armstrong, if someone is on housing benefit and they are in employment, they're working, but because the rent is so high, they cannot afford a house. That's what housing benefit tops up. Should they lose their... within this current plan, they would still lose their housing benefit. This does not just apply to the unemployed. It applies to those people who are working as well. Do you support that?
Well, I think you are getting into an area where there is an emphasis where taxpayers should pay for everybody in the country. And you have to draw a line at some stage to say, look, if you need additional benefits, it doesn't have to be housing benefits, as we all know there are.
Erwin, you're going all over the place now. Here's the question. If someone is employed, they've gone out and they've got a job, but they're on housing benefit, should they have their housing benefit cut? So you can't label them as unemployed, you can't label them as sitting in the house, they're working.
Yeah, you're obviously referring here to 25 or 24 and under.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, the point being, why should the state be paying for them to have a house? That's the basic question you
because
have to
ask. Because
the
minimum wage isn't enough for them to pay their rent.
Yeah, but they can then move in to shared accommodation. They're not married, they're single, I think, in your analysis. They can be like students who live 5-6 to a house quite comfortably.
And last question, Erwin. Why should this policy apply? I go back to my point about stigmatising and isolating young people. Why should this policy apply to 24-year-olds? Why should a 40-year-old or a 50-year-old who's in exactly the same system and situation, why should they receive housing benefit? Why are young people not treated as much and as well as the 40 and 50-year-olds?
Well, I think I go back to what I said earlier about the 50% of young people who go off to universities and share houses. And I think they're trying to draw a level line that says, look, if you're studying, that's the set of rules. You know, you're not going to get paid for living
anywhere. This doesn't just apply to people that are studying. This could be someone that's 24 years of age that hasn't studied since 16. You know,
this policy, two different sets of rules.
But your party would have different sets of rules.
No, we
they would have a different set of rules for a 50-year-old or a 40-year-old than they would for an under 25-year-old.
Yeah,
if you're unemployed, and you cannot
single.
Afford your house, and you're 40, you get your housing benefit. If you're 24, you don't. Under this policy.
Yes. And I think you've got to look at it that most of those are single people who want to get houses and they want the taxpayer to pay for everything. And I think we...
And a 40-year-old who's single doesn't?
I don't know. We have cut the top rate of £500 a week. Which
here's the point I'm...
Probably...
Here's the point I'm getting to, Erwin. We've got to be very, very careful in Northern Ireland. And our political parties surely have got to be very careful to protect the integrity of young people. In other words, because you're 24 does not mean you're any way less decent or should be given any way less respect than a 40 or 50-year-old. And we've got to remind these politicians that because the majority of them are in their 40s, in their 50s, it doesn't mean that they can look down on someone who's 22, 23 or 24 years of age just because of their age.
I don't think there is any intent to look down on anybody. There is an intent to say to people, every penny you get comes from the taxpayer, and every penny that comes from taxpayers has to be looked after extremely carefully. And that if you're single and you're 24 and you have no family, you should not expect the state to look after you.
Yeah, you're contradicting yourself now because you said that the same policy should apply to people who have families. Stephen, morning to you, Stephen.
No, I didn't actually.
Well, yes, you did. I asked you if some families should be excluded, and you said no.
No, I said yes.
So families should be excluded?
I said if you have a husband and wife with a young child and they have worked and lost their jobs, then they should be excluded. That, you know, so just let's make that clear.
What about childless families?
No, childless families are totally different situation.
Totally different.
Yeah.
Stephen, morning to you, Stephen.
You're interested in children.
Hi, Stephen. How's it going?
Go ahead, Stephen.
My point I just want to state is it's not against people who, you know, have been made redundant and circumstances have changed, but it's against those who are on benefits and who are, you know, just having children. And I think that to bring a child into this world based on that, where you can't provide for them, where you're dependent on somebody else, I think is a very selfish thing to do. And for me personally, I have made provisions for my children. If something was to happen to me next week, next month, I was losing my job, then I personally have made provision for my kids. But I think it's a very selfish thing to do, to bring a child into this world, unless you're sure you can financially support them.
Stephen, thank you. And Lynn, morning, Lynn.
Hi, I just start last call. I don't know how you make sure that you can provide for a child. That was a bit. I don't know how you can do that before you have a child. But my point is.
Well, why don't you ask him, Lynn? I think we're getting Stephen back. We'll get him back in a second. Go ahead, Lynn.
My point is, my husband works for FG Wilson, and we're facing, you know, no income. My husband is the only person that works in the family. I have four children. We had those children feeling that we could provide for them, and now we're facing circumstances where we don't know whether we'll be able to provide for them or not. And all this benefits talk is terrifying. Absolutely terrifying.
Tell me why it terrifies you, Lynn.
Because, well, we can afford our children to look after ourselves at the minute. Just, you know, we don't have holidays, we don't buy expensive TVs, we don't drive expensive cars. We get by. But if our income's going to drop dramatically, I don't know how I'm going to feed my children.
Stephen's back with us, Lynn. You can speak to him this morning. Go ahead.
Stephen, I'm just wondering, you made a point there that you made sure your children are provided for.
Yeah.
And you did that before you just started to have kids. I don't know how you can possibly know what circumstances hold to be able to provide for your children.
Well, Lynn, I did say at the start that my issue is not against people in your circumstance your husband has lost a job and that's different. But for me personally, before we decided to start a family, I always made sure that I had things in place, whether it was savings or whatever. So I knew that if circumstances came against me, then I was able to care and provide for my family, for my children. And I know not everybody is in that boat, but my point, Lynn, was that it's people who are on benefits now, right, and who have no intention of getting work, and they just want to have a family, and they go and they get pregnant, and they have a child, and have no way of supporting that child. And for me, that is very selfish.
Well, I definitely agree, but I mean, anybody who has a child is selfish. You don't have a child for any reason other than a selfish reason. You know, you have a child because you want a child. That is selfish, and you know, in its essence.
No, I agree. I was saying that, as far as I'm concerned, people who are having children and have no idea how they're going to fancy cope, and they are dependent on the government to help them. They bring a child into this world, and not to be able to financially support that child at that point, I think, is very selfish. But someone like you, where your husband lost a job, I mean, I mean, it's terrible, and I'm certainly not getting it at people like you. It's people who are on benefits all their lives, and they're having child after child after child, and it's them that's causing the problem. So people like you who are in a circumstance where your husband has lost that job, and the government are cracking down, it's people who are on benefits for years that are causing the problems, and it's now deep people like you and your husband who are paying the price.